Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel lesson you heard before and which we read before. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. What do you expect as you pray the words, "Your kingdom come," from the Lord's Prayer? You might think about a blessed, promised future in heaven, God's kingdom coming when we at last meet him face to face. Or you might think ahead to the very next line of the Lord's Prayer, considering God's kingdom to come whenever and wherever God's will is being done. You might even stop to consider how odd the word kingdom is for us who live in a 21st century democracy. One challenge the word poses is that we tend to associate kingdom with a place, specifically ruled by a king. Biblical scholars suggest that reign or rule may be a better translation of the Greek word, as the primary emphasis on God is on God's activity, his reign and his rule, rather than on the place where it happens. What activity of God are we talking about? Martin Luther believed that God is at work in the world in two different ways, in and through the created world for the welfare of all, and through the gospel to bring people to saving faith in Christ Jesus. The account we heard today of the visit of the Magi is about the kingdom, the rule and reign of God coming to us in the person and work of the Christ child. However, Jesus coming to establish his reign is met, as we see in this account, with a variety of responses. We see these responses and reactions played out in the various characters of the gospel lesson we heard from Matthew. Let's look at those a little more closely in the text. The first reaction, which may surprise you, is that of hostility. When Jesus' kingdom comes, some people are hostile to that coming. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, immediately the text highlights something of the political landscape into which Jesus came. Jesus was not born in a vacuum, but in a particular time and a place and a particular set of circumstances in history, during the reign of Herod the Great. What we know about Herod the Great, one of the succession of Herods we hear about in the Bible, it's not the same one who was there at Jesus' crucifixion. This is a different Herod, but this was his quest for power and his jealousy. He was a Roman appointed ruler of the Jewish nations, but he was not a Jew, an Israelite, and so he was despised, or his rule was tolerated. He came to power through coercion and through conflict, through bloodshed. And he sought to hold on to that power by any means possible, even if he had to murder off a few of his own family or anyone else who got in the way. And then after this text, all the boys of the under the age of 2 years old, as we later discover, all because they posed a threat to his reign and his rule. And so you can imagine when foreign emissaries, these magi, come to Herod saying, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and when it rose and we have come to worship him." You can imagine Herod's response. "I'm the King of the Jews." Herod senses a threat to his own kingdom and his power. When Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was disturbed by the coming of Jesus because it was a threat to his rule. And the people were disturbed because a rival king spelled conflict, and that would mean more bloodshed and hardship and instability. And so what does Herod do? anything he can to hold on to his power. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in Judea, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. We all know from history what Herod was really thinking. If we read on a bit further from the appointed text in Matthew 1, you see that Herod was not the slightest bit interested in worship of Jesus. He wanted to find his whereabouts so that he could murder him. And when he failed, when he was outwitted by the Magi and by God's saving plan, remember that they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod but go home by another raid. Herod was outwitted, so he was furious, and he ordered that all the boys aged 2 years and under be slaughtered. Hatred and hostility toward God is one of the reactions to his coming. And we see it still today. But it always leads ultimately in its largest form, its grand form, to death and to destruction. We see that throughout the Bible. Herod was paranoid, protective of his throne, killing any and dealing swiftly and ruthlessly with all who would threaten his rule and his reign. And sadly, we see that copied in our world's leadership today in places. Still today, people reject Jesus or are increasingly hostile to him. They do not see their need for a Lord and a King, a shepherd, a guide. Now, while we may not be hostile to Jesus, do we sometimes see his rule coming into conflict with our own agenda and our own plans for ourselves and the church and the world in which we live? Do we think that we know better than him? If so, we must submit those plans and agendas to him. The second reaction is veiled, but it's there in the text, is ambivalence or apathy to Jesus. When Herod had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. You, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. God's own people knew the scriptures. The teachers of the law and the chief priests knew where the Saviour was to be born. Why didn't they go and worship him? The journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem was only a matter of miles, whereas the wise men, the Magi, they came from hundreds of miles away over many months to worship him. Why did Jesus' own people did not recognise him or were apathetic to his coming? Now, I don't want to draw too much of a point here because Scripture is silent here. It doesn't tell us their motivation or action. But we're reminded later in John's Gospel that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Are we sometimes apathetic or blasé to Jesus coming to us today? I've heard it all before. Or do we worship him sometimes on Sundays and then go about our business as usual, neglecting his reign and rule in our life, or neglecting the study of his word? his guidance that he gives us each day. Now to the third response, which we're the one we're naturally drawn to in this story, the worship of the wise men, or the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." In other words, they wanted to pay homage as people of another nation, another land, to worship, to pay homage to this new ruler. They expected him to be born in Jerusalem. That's where the kings were. That's where the palace was. That's where the temple was. When they saw the star, they overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. What is surprising about this is that these were the last people on earth you would expect to worship the newborn king. Who were these Magi, these mysterious men from afar? They were not kings. There were not necessarily three of them, and they were not really that wise unless Christ had first drawn them to worship him and find where he was. They were most likely astrologers, people who studied the stars, educated priests, and essentially foreigners and outsiders to the Jewish covenant. We heard throughout the readings this morning of the good news of Jesus coming to the Gentiles, which are the non-Jews, the outsiders, the foreigners, that even those ones are included in his grace. And that's what we see here today. Here we see from the outsider, the foreigner, the people you wouldn't expect, the true expression of worship. And more importantly, that the grace of God has been revealed to them also, which anticipates the later mission to the Gentiles after Jesus had ascended into heaven. What is your response to Jesus' coming? That is the question today. Hostility, apathy, or worship? We saw in the Ephesians reading from today that we can come to him because of his good news has been revealed to us, the coming of Christ and his reign and rule, that we can come and worship him now with freedom and with confidence. And when I talk about worship, I'm not talking just about attendance in a church building for an hour on Sunday. Listen to how the original writer puts it. When they saw his star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going out of the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Jesus' rule in our lives, his reign, is one where he comes to shepherd us, to rule us with equity and peace and justice. And it is a reason for great joy. It is a reason to even more praise him and worship him for who he is. Today we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, which means revelation, the revealing or manifestation. It's like at Christmas time you get the present. On Epiphany, you open it up and discover all that it has to offer you. It's the season when we unwrap the gift of Christ. We discover the enormity and the far reach of the gift he has given us that leads us to exceeding joy. So let us today and always join in the worship of the Magi, and like them, maybe we too go home another way, changed by the birth of the only King of the Jews and our King, Jesus. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.